Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight on this Halloween night, October 31st, 2017. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist building families and communities institute and reaching a national audience. Our weekly topics include issues and concerns that affect our day-to-day lives, both in our families and our communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dockery, is the host, and we're happy to be here with you as often as we can. We engage various experts and individuals with background and experience on various topics in what we consider to be provocative conversation and dialogue, and we invite you to join us as well. Additionally, this Blog Talk platform serves as a catalyst for national-based dialogue in the various cities that we endeavor to share our research-based seminar and lecture series. With that being said, we again welcome each and every one of you to join us. The number here is 657-383-0944. You can join us live in the discussion tonight. Happy to entertain your questions and comments. We only ask that you keep it relevant to our topic, as well as be respectful of all of our participants in the show. Tonight, our topic is entitled "Trick or Treat: Life in the Fast Lane," and that's the topic for which we will engage in conversation tonight. What we find behind every person who gets caught up in the destructive addiction and despair cycles is that somewhere underneath all of that, that's someone who was once innocent. Somewhere along their path in life, they fell for the bait of the enemy to trade the right for the wrong. The question is, what did they receive? Was it a trick or was it a treat? We want to answer that tonight. We're going to have Pastor Waller to join us, and I know that he has a great deal of information to share within this conversation here. Again, the number is 657-383-0944. Please join us We're live streaming tonight. You see our question thread. Feel free to join in with us and give us your feedback. We're happy to engage you, pastors, whomever you might be. We want to hear from you this evening. With that being said, we're going to move on now to our monologue, and after which we're going to open the floor to dialogue. One advisory, we do have some musical content that I'm convinced help convey the severity of circumstance that some people face, but the intent in using this is for instructional purposes. This is an intellectual dialogue, and we use it accordingly as such, so I hope no one will take offense to that, but use it again as an instructional tool. Trick or treat, life in the fast lane. Genesis, the third chapter, the third and the fourth verses read, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die." Innocence is a state of being uncorrupt by evil, malice, or wrongdoing. Simply put, sinless. At birth, we are generally naive and vulnerable to external influences and persuasion. Our only fault is that which is passed on to us from the sins of our parents or ancestors. However, as social beings, we develop over time. Based on exposure to the world around us, we acquire a personal appetite for select things in life, such things as food, clothing, interaction with others, physical delights, and even psychological achievement. Thus, circumstances of life cause us to develop either trust or distrust in people, places, and things. In an ideal situation, a person grows up in a loving family that provides for them a sense of security, nourishment, pro-social instruction, and even understanding about the facts of life itself. However, for many of us, present company included, dysfunctional family traits cheats us from the benefit of a wholesome orientation to the real world, and therefore we become prey for the vultures of society. The world is full of professional con artists whose primary goal is to get over on every and anything and anybody they can. We read in the text previously in the word, we learned that the enemy comes but to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's his job. Now, a trick is a cunning or skillful act or scheme intended to deceive or to outwit somebody. It is intended to be used as a means to mystify or cloud your reasoning, or to create an illusion of some sort. This is the secret weapon of con artists. They study the behaviors of people who are innocent, weak, trusting, and easily baited. Though any trick is based on a false premise, the most skillful con artist knows how to put together such a scheme that speaks to the very soul of one's imagination and deepest desires. While you know that a thing is not based in reality, the mere idea of having it right here and right now sounds so good that you suspend your logical reasoning for the fantasy of acquiring that which you know is no good for you. Now, a treat is an event or item that is out of the ordinary. It's not something that you usually have. It brings great pleasure and satisfaction, sometimes in the form of food or drink or even entertainment. And this is done at one's own expense. I'm treating myself. The con man's trick is based in the fantasy that the individual have of having something, even when they know they don't need it, they can live without it, it's not necessary. But out of ignorance, there's this drive by the innocent to suspend certain realities, and the unsuspected victim overlooks the fact that they're being lured into a situation or an action at their own expense. Interestingly enough, the reward go to the trickster, the con artist, the manipulator, and the deceiver. You're not even benefiting from it at the end of the day. Oh, you convince yourself, I need this. This is a treat. Something I don't really get. I work hard, and I need this to make me feel better. But the only person that's really winning is the enemy. I want to ask a few questions before I open up the phone lines. Trick or treat. You hooked up with someone out of lust. Now your heart is broken. Was it a trick or a treat? Work yourself to death to have the finest materials in life. Keep up with the Joneses, if you will. But you have no time for your children, your spouse, and those that mean the most to you. Trick or treat? Your friends promise you that if you come hang out with us, and you get down with us, you go where we go, you'll have a good time. Now you find yourself lonely, balled up in a corner, strung out on drugs, alcohol, pills. Trick or treat? You like the promise of freedom from government to do what you want to when you get ready, go where you want to. But now you can't get a straight answer from those who are supposed to represent you in government. Trick or treat? Drive around in expensive cars, plenty of girls, but you have to constantly look over your shoulder, wondering if you're going to get blue lighted, if it's going in for you going to jail. Trick or treat? I want you to listen to this young man, or these young men. They call themselves the Ghetto Boys, and they talk about how their mind plays tricks on them. Okay, just for a second, and we're going to open up the phone lines here.
Fell on a weekend, me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating, robbing little kids for bags, till an old man got behind our ass, so we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face, he'd be in for a squabble, no doubt, so I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth, he was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga, he stood about 6 or 7 feet, now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. Triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as fuck on the street. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Goddamn, homie. My mind is playing tricks on me.
You're listening to Talk Street. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The number is 657-383-0944. Trick or treat. Living life in the fast lane. Pastor Waller, good evening, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Pastor Dockery. I'm all right. How you doing, sir?
Man, it's some ghouls and goblins out here. Ooh.
Where we at?
Well, that's amazing. It's amazing. That's all I can say on that one. And I'm sure it's a whole lot can be said. But I think you said it all. You asked a very divine question. Trick or treat?
Yes, sir.
Which one? Well, brother, you started something, if you don't mind. Man, I think you said it all in your monologue, brother.
Praise God.
You know,
and, well, there's a little more to the story. Perhaps there's a little bit more to the story. You know, Pastor, we have good people, and I wanted to emphasize the fact that I believe we all start at some point of innocence. I don't think we come in the world looking to get caught up. You know what I mean?
No, sir. Not at
but
all.
Somewhere between our getting here and while we're here, we get caught up. You know? What's the story? Yeah. That's what... interestingly enough, tonight is Halloween. And the truth of the matter, just like the ghetto boys, there are some people that are out of their mind because they're fighting, they're swinging, and trying to defend themselves from some that I would contend they don't understand. They don't even realize who the enemy is. And that's really what we want to talk about, this life in the fast lane that get people caught up, you know, and they don't even understand how they got there. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing, but it's real. And a lot of good people, many of which I know personally, sir, would do better if they knew better. And they're looking for answers.
I would agree to that. Yes, sir. I would agree to that heartily.
Right.
Go
ahead.
True.
Take the floor.
You know, I basically was saying, you know, it's sad that it's that way, but it's so true. And have gotten captured as a result of that. You know, so many times, you know, the innocent is who get captured quicker.
Right.
Than one that wonders, should I, should I not?
Wow.
She's innocent automatically because of the design order. You know, they placed this day. Instead of saying, this is the day that the Lord God has made, but they have another saying. And then they give you what this day will bring forth. And so people prepare, a lot of people, I would say, prepare for this day to carry out what was placed before them, if you will.
Right.
And it caused a lot of people to be lured into a way that seemeth right. Yes, sir. When you walk into a way that seems right, oftentimes, you know, a person gets captured because the desire of one's heart and mind is already there.
Stop now. Say that one more time, bro. Say that one more.
Yeah.
That's interesting because say that one more time.
Yeah, man. If I will, man, I tell you, man, when you have a desire, a person's heart and is already there when you present a certain or a particular thing before them.
Right.
And it's a rush. It gives you a rush. You want to feed into that trap. You
call
it
adrenaline rush.
It is. And it will cause the person to do what it takes to get there quick.
Mm.
And it reminds me of what you were saying earlier about life in the fast lane.
Yes,
I've had my share of it. And I tell you, man, it is not pleasing to my thought pattern now that I know that I'm free. Because I think of so many other people who are yet to get free. And then those that are being entrapped, if you will, into the illusion that this is a great opportunity to be a part of something that's so unreal.
Wow.
You know? And then that's where it is. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's anything other than something that's worth getting into for the most part. And I think that, to me, you know, as I said earlier, it's a sad situation. To try to find so much joy, but you know that people find so much joy into something that just seems knowing within their heart that they just don't know whether it's right or wrong, whether it's good or bad. Whether
but they're looking for happiness.
Huh?
But they're looking for happiness, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the way. All from the start until it's over. They're looking for a good time, man. And, man, I just, when I recall about it, you know, it saddens me. I was that individual as well. That,
you know, as I mentioned, and I included myself in that in terms of dysfunctional family traits that caused me to veer off looking for something in the wrong place, you know what I mean? And you get your head bumped, and then you cry, and you know, you're looking for somebody to help smooth it over for you. But like you say, that's the unfortunate reality. Pastor, I got 3072 and 1098 with us on the line. 3072, I think you queued in with us. How you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Mighty fine.
Doing
mighty
well.
Fine. 1098, good evening, sir.
Good. How you doing?
All right. We talked about trick or treat, that life and that fast thing. What say you about?
What say me?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, when I was smoking my marijuana, I was enjoying it up until the point. You know, so therefore, you know, I lied not during that period of time. It was a treat for me. That was something I wanted to do. But now, it was a trick. But I got out of that trick.
I got you. I got you. Okay. What do you say about it, 3072?
Well, your question was a trick or a treat. What was a trick or treat? What do you mean?
So in the monologue, we talked about how innocent people hear, see, and feel, experience things, and they're trying to take it to the next level of enjoyment, happiness. So it's easy for a con artist or someone who seeks to manipulate you or to extract something out of you unrightfully to speak to your desire to be happy, to find enjoyment, and to trick you into a situation. You tell yourself, I deserve this to make me happy. That's the treat. But the question is it really a trick or a treat? Case in point, young cat is out on the block. In his mind, he going to treat himself to the American dream. Right? Young lady, same thing. They're going to treat themselves to being happy. But they're looking for happiness in all the wrong ways and wrong places. And they wind up in a situation, they ask themselves, man, was that a trick or a treat?
Sure. Well, I was just going to say that is a really good question. My personal experience, just coming to learn, one must first be happy with themselves as a person to actually know what makes you happy truly. So out there experimenting with different things, you know, is definitely not a treat. It's a trick that you played on yourself even.
Wow.
You done tricked yourself out.
You know what, I don't mean to cut you off, but 3072, the older we get, we tell ourselves, I'm grown now, and I'm entitled to a treat. So I don't have to listen to what I was taught when I was growing up. Or I don't have to follow the models and example of those old people or what they used to, because I'm grown now, and I deserve to treat myself every now and then. Is that how we get caught up?
That is, and I do think now there is nothing wrong with somebody just wanting to try to feel good or feel happy, but again, yeah, you need to differentiate and know, again, what's truly going to make you happy. One of the callers spoke about marijuana. So, okay, you done that, you enjoyed that, you thinking that's making you happy. Well, you lose your job and you try to go find another one. Guess what? You're not happy when you can't pass the drug screen. You're not happy if you get pulled over and, you know, you catch a charge for that or whatever. That doesn't truly just make you happy. You need to find maybe the source of, hey, why can't I feel good without this? Or what can I do to feel good without, you know, that. And again, it's nothing wrong with people just seeking, trying to be happy, but the importance of the show is for us to learn, hey, dang, is that a trick or is this a treat and I need to find something else?
Well, Pastor Waller, if your outcome is something that causes you to lose at your expense, that certainly wasn't no treat, was it?
You said
if the outcome of your investment into this act, this so-called treat, causes you to lose something, it causes you to lose something now or lose a part of who you are, that certainly wasn't no good thing, was it? Was that a treat or what? I mean, we just want to identify how you're being tricked or treated.
It was a trick to me now. I mean, my experience, it was a trick. You know, I thought it was, you know, a treat, but it wasn't. It was a trick. And I, you know, I have a nickname. If you look in the book at Forsaken Talent, they called me Trick Rick because I do tricks with a ball.
Joe did, didn't he?
Okay. I'm my book. You know, my nickname is Fat Rick. I didn't name it. Other people called me Trick Rick, and I just went on and bought me a sign that says Trick Rick. But I knew what I was doing. You see what I'm saying? And I can do a lot of things with the ball. That's understandable. But when you think that you're doing something and you're being treated from it, and you discover later on, like I did, man, I was being tricked, man. Now I harmed a lot of people because I got tricked, and through me, a lot of other people got tricked. You know, so it's it's nothing. And like I say, I'm not belittling no one, but I have
to admit
I got tricked, man. I mean, I got tricked big time.
It happens.
When I say I got tricked, man, it's a sad thing to think about. There's so many people getting tricked today, man, and they don't know no
good. No,
they're not wanting to be tricked. They want to enjoy themselves.
Right.
But you said
and
a whole lot. Go ahead. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the biggest trick is on the ones that's out there trying to trick people. For those that do wake up and discover, hey, this is a trick, I'm not your fool anymore, you know, that the trick is on them. Because now they got to find somebody else to, you know, trick.
Now, that's interesting you say that. That's interesting you say that now, 3072. Let's look at the conversation between Eve and the serpent, right? In Genesis, the third chapter. Eve was speaking of something she really didn't understand. Consider. When she said, but the fruit of the tree of which was in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now, God never told her. He never told her, Pastor.
Right.
He never told her. She repeating what she heard. Y'all walking with me?
I'm right there, brother.
You should not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Here's how the enemy was able to trick her. He knew she didn't understand what she was talking about. We learned last show that if you get, and all you're getting, get an understanding. She didn't understand, right? And the serpent came back and said, look here, girl. Hey, girl, come here. Let me talk to you. You know what? You ain't going to really die, girl. Come on, go with me. And it was all over then, wasn't it?
It was. Man.
It was all downhill then. And that's the way 3072, the enemy does you. The enemy got you in a situation where he's going to beguile you, make you lower your defenses, and get rid of all reason. Hang your brain up at the door. Have a conversation with me, though. But I'm doing all the talking. You ain't doing no talking.
Yep.
He's doing all the talking. Is that right?
Yeah,
you ain't doing no reasoning nor talking. The enemy doing all the time. You know that's a first class hustle right there.
Man, amazing! I tell you, when once you wake up though, Pastor, as she was saying, I love that the way she put it. It was in such a way what the enemy meant for bad. See, God can get a lot of good out of it because it was intentional. And by being intentional, and now that you have been awakened. It's time for you to let it be known. You cannot participate in that anymore. So, you know, it reminds me of from 1997 when I got free from selling drugs. Now, I want you to listen to this. When I got free from selling drugs, First, he got me off of Jews in 1992, which means I wasn't putting him in my system anymore, but I was still slanging it, and I was still harming other people. But in 1997, on up until now, I hadn't done no harm to my people concerning that. So the new generation that came in, I'm so grateful, man, to know that I didn't put that poison in their system in no way. And that's amazing, man. That's how powerful the trick is. But listen to this right here. You said something earlier, Pastor. And what you said was about the conning enemy. I mean, you said that. And this is what the Word of God said about it, because most people don't know that it's in the Word of God, you know, because even myself, I didn't know it. And I understand that. But it does say that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and conning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Could you imagine?
Lord have
mercy. They're just waiting for this day to come to deceive multitudes of people, man.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
by
it.
Way of coming.
That's it.
And, that's you know, I'm talking about most people that's being conned is people in the church. There's a lot of folks in church who participate in this stuff, man.
Right. Right. I want to bring this around, Pastor, to this fast lane concept, right? Living life in the fast lane. I don't know if people really call us understand what the fast lane, what makes the lane fast, you know? Everybody's going at a speed that makes them feel good. Well, you know you can't. If you don't have any rules of the road, somebody's going to run over somebody. Is that right?
That's what happened.
Somebody's going to get ran over. Let me.
Yeah.
T.I. got this song called 20 Foes. And what's interesting to me is it's amazing to me how many, when I have interaction with a lot of young folk, this is where their mind is. Still today, and this song is kind of old, but their mind is still there in terms of this is what the life is all about. When they say I'm about that life, that's what they're talking about. It just for a few seconds, and then I want to ask a question to Outkast. And I see 1080 is with us. Join us anytime you get ready, 1080. But I want to ask Outkast a question when we come back in just a second here.
Yes, sir.
How do you counteract this hustle that's been ran on young brothers and sisters that's the American, that's happiness?
Well, the thing is this, you know, we can talk about the drug dealers or whatever, 365 days a year. You know, they call them serving someone a treat, not try to get off the subject. I'm trying to wind it up because that little rap music deal, I'm old school. I don't even listen to that.
I know what you mean.
But to the best of my knowledge, he's catering to a base. You know, little guys, you know, smoking, you know, whatever, you know, doing their 40s back in the day. We were drinking them 32 ounce. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
He catering to a base with that nonsense. But at the end of the day, if they read the full script in a whole detail, the one that's serving the treats, he's the one that's going to get that trick 60, 70, 80 years in the penitentiary.
Wow.
You know, like I said, I don't do the rap deal. Never have, you know.
I understand.
When Run DMC and all them went out, you know, that basically that's when I went out. I listened to a little bit of that.
You checked out too, huh?
I'm actually old school. But here's the truth about this dope dealing. Some gonna get through. Some not gonna go to prison. But the vast amount of them are gonna go to prison. You got them sitting in Tennessee State Prison right now with 60 and 70 years for a key.
Right.
And then you got to pay that fine. So
while
they serving the treats, oh, you're gonna get the trick. You know, that came with warnings. You know, I mean, it's like a box of matches or a pack of cigarettes. Anything else, everything come with a warning.
Right.
Hold there. I'm like,
you know,
what it is what it is. Now I was I started smoking dope in 1970. I was 12 years old. I started young. And stop,
Okay.
Crack scene. Look here. And you know what I used to tell them? When I came out the penitentiary, crack was on the scene. I used to sing a little song. Crack won't let you back. Crack won't let you back.
My.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to be long gone.
Right,
yes, sir.
Right. Wow. Man, I'll tell you what. You got to realize that I don't know if T.I. and people that listen to T.I. understand it, but where they got the notion that hanging out on the block, driving around in the streets was cool, was fun, was from a generation that preceded them. They did the same thing. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing new under the sun.
Well, I wanted to add something.
Okay, go ahead, right quick. You got the floor.
Who's
30
speaking?
Seconds. You 30 seconds.
Well, you just asked a question, and I think personally that, and I like some rap music, but I think that song was garbage then, and I still think it's garbage now.
What?
However, I was going to say you were asking where they get the notion from. They get it.
Right.
You, and then earlier you wanted to know about the American dream. So I think as African Americans, a lot of African Americans get it from the so-called American dream, if you know where I'm coming from, who the American dream truly belongs to. So here's what we're doing. We're watching people that have established themselves financially well.
Mm-hmm.
They have a business. They were left money. They actually goes to work. They do things to, you know, keep their money. And we look at that, and we want that too. I want to be flashy. I want to be dressed up. I want women and cars and clothing, but we're not working for that.
Wait a minute.
You can't do nothing even to deserve those things.
Wow.
You going out in 20 minutes, shit, you come back with what, a good $300 or $400? Because you done sold some drugs to somebody.
Hold on.
And guess what? The next day, bruh, you got to go try to do the same thing over again.
Okay.
Maybe in a week you got a flashy car. Yeah, so that's where they're getting it from. I mean, it goes, to me, it's crossed the lines of, I know we got pastors and ministers and stuff on the phone, but there's some people that don't go to church, and they may enjoy a drink. They may enjoy some marijuana or whatever their case is. If they are living their lives responsible, maybe they have careers. Maybe, and they can do that without hurting themselves, meaning going to jail, meaning you can't eat after you done bought a bag of weed, meaning your children are taking, you know what I'm saying? That's their business. Mm-hmm. But for us African Americans, we make it other people's business on top of ours. Because we suffered as a result, and we're hurting other people.
Wow.
Yes.
So can I sum what you're saying up like this? If one person, the other folk get a cold, we're going to have double pneumonia. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Lord, yes. And they know how to cure their cold.
Wow.
We're going to die from it.
I see you on the line with us, 9906. Good evening, sir.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right, all right. Jump right in when you fit in.
I'm just listening. I'm trying to get my workout in.
Okay, okay. All
right,
but
we appreciate
you joining us. Yeah, we appreciate you joining us. I see Peebo is on Facebook with us with our line. Join us here, the number 657-383-0944. Love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. You can just check us out as you are now. I wanted to ask 1080 something that I think he understands. 1080, you on a daily basis work with people in your businesses, either one of your businesses, but particularly your haircutting business. And I know you get a lot of feedback from people. Do you think that they really believe the fast life is a treat or a trick to keep them, as 3072 said, always having to go back? See, it'd be one thing if you can live off your money because your money's working for you, and you got to stay on that hustle and keep working for the money. What about it, Tenny?
I mean, dealing with them, when I talk to young people, I think they kind of know what they're getting themselves into.
Okay.
They don't really know the effect it's going to have on them later on because they're still young while they're going through it. I think they know what they do. Matter of fact, they look at me like as if, why am I doing what I do? They don't make no money. I'm kind of like, oh man, you working a $1,000. That makes okay money, but it ain't the money they making. So it's like, once you experience that, it's like, you know, from one perspective, where you coming from? But long term, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You done got to. Long term, what you gonna do about it at that point? But yeah,
you ain't gonna stay young forever, nor be able to hustle like you. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. 3072, you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say something on behalf of what the child just think about it. I mean, he's doing something positive, something that's meaningful, something worth having, but yet still the enemy has so much power to blind the eyes of a person and the ears that they was unable to see the usage in what he was doing. And so the con man is utilizing the power of one being like myself, I would admit, being ignorant, not knowing any better. See, why wouldn't I want to go on to college? You understand? I would say things like this. Why would I go to college and take a chance on breaking my ankle? I'm making more money now than I would going to somebody's college. So when I wrote the book, he said, how dumb does that sound? He got me because I didn't want to wait, you know, 2 or 3 more years and then go to the NBA. I'm using this for an example to show you how powerful the enemy is. And I like what the sister said even earlier, man. She let it be known and the power of the enemy, man, that's causing the people to be out there to try this for the first time, make $30, $100, or $200. And sure, you want to try it again because it was so nice. I got to try it twice. And there it is. Man, I done corrupted my whole community, man. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm saying all the power of the enemy utilizing that trick. But then she said this. She said, but now, when you got free, now who is the trick on now?
Wow.
Because she knew with me being free that I wasn't going to go back and do no more harm to my community. You see what I'm saying? So the best thing now for me to do is to wake up as many people as I can, because if the enemy used me like he did or misused me, I have all rights for God to use me to help wake up people who don't know no better. You see? And so it's amazing, man, that we spoke about, I'm turning back over again, Pastor. You remember I read earlier about what the enemy does. He said that we henceforth, meaning from now on, be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and conning craftiness whereabout they lie in wait to deceive. See, I didn't know nothing about no Bible then. I didn't know nothing about church. I didn't do no church. I slung dope. I've done things like that. I had no relationship with church at all. So the enemy has such a grip on me that I don't even know I'm addicted to money. You know, I have a dream, don't. I didn't find out I was addicted to money until I got free for years, man. It's amazing the power of the enemy, man. And there's so many of our people right now, you know, that won't come out of the church. We need to get out of them churches. I know that. And get out there where them hurting people are. Yeah, man, there's some people out there waiting. There's people waiting on people that's in church who got information, who have that information, to come out there and let them know, so they won't have to sleep as long as most of us.
My God.
Have slept.
Read some.
Hold your thought, 9906. 3072 was trying to say something before Pastor Wilder.
Go ahead.
Oh, Pastor, I was going to say, you brought up for money. I mean, the enemy is that green paper. Brothers out there risking their lives for green paper. That's all it is. It's fancied up, fixed up paper that somebody put a value on. So you're going to go kill yourself. You're going to go spend 30 years. You're going to go corrupt communities for green paper that you can buy in a store.
And it cares a lot.
What the OJ say? People, don't let money. Don't let money fool you. Don't let it change.
That's deep. It's green paper. It's all it is to me. It's green paper.
Hold on. Let me hear 9906. Yeah. What about a 9906?
We're on the topic of the church and everything. I just pulled up some lyrics to go along with what T.I. was saying, but this is about Lil Wayne carrying on. And I think this relates to something I said.
Yeah, speak in your phone a little closer. We can't hear you clearly.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me?
All right, we hear you better now.
Hear me better now.
Hear you better now. Go ahead.
I was saying that you pull up some lyrics. You played T.I. and I pulled up some lyrics with Lil Wayne. And this song, I'm going to tell you how much the devil is just making a mockery of her. His song was, I'll say, sex, money, and weed, right? Because he used that P word for sex. And it's all like that. But listen to all the different references to the mockery that the devil is using these people to just try to be a mockery of God. Watch this. He said, oh, yes, I love her like an Egyptian. What a description. Her body's sickening, I can hear her prescription. I could be her physician, sexual healing. I could be her religion. And now she's kneeling, praying to the ceiling. I bless her. Do y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Do y'all hear that?
Wow.
That the church, we messed up. We messed up because we're showing this rap music. And that's the conscience of our inner city kid right now. That's the conscience. That's
the
where they get their guidance right now. We messed up with that now, and we're slow on the social media. We're catching up in a little way. But both of them, it should have been a tool that we use to get out of the church and get into their bedroom, get into their cars, get into the community. All right? Right now, church, we set back. We're still waiting for people to come to church and wonder why they use okay, we're still waiting. We got to active. I hear the pastor. We got to get out and get to them where they are. Jesus didn't tell us to what? Sit in the church and wait for folks. He said, go ye therefore.
Yes, sir.
All right?
That's what
and that was his last, that was his last will and testament. That was his will for us to go and said, I'll be with you always.
That's right,
after
man.
After he told him, I'm already off. I'm telling you, I'm all powerful.
Right.
I'm telling you to go. I'm putting the power behind you. Hello?
Man.
So what we got, and then we got Lil Wayne being used by the devil. All right, talking to women in this sexual way as if he's a god. Praying to the ceiling. I bless you.
Well,
okay, this is all I can
say. All I can say.
Wow.
All
well,
I can
say
is,
look, I ain't mad at Lil Wayne because he's doing what his God told him to do.
Watch out.
That's all right.
But we got to get
money
off.
For them drug users.
We have this conversation. Huh? But we got to take it to another level. We got to get as aggressive as the devil has been.
I agree. All I can say is
anybody that considers Lil Wayne as ugly as he is, as they got and he's blessing them, something is truly wrong. I don't care
now,
how much money he got.
Now,
yeah,
now,
they are disturbed and
confused.
Disease,
man.
But now, 3072, I don't know if you heard my monologue, but that's the point that I was trying to drive home when I said that a con artist studies people's habits, their weaknesses, just so that they can appeal to your deepest emotions and desire.
Wow.
So you'll throw away the idea of what really looks good or what is good just for what, for the moment, will make
you
feel good.
Well, and here again, here is what I'm saying. So back to your show weeks ago about instilling the right thing in children and all that. So again, he can come in there with a suitcase full of money. You look dirty to me. Nothing you can say to me that will not appeal to me. Pull
me
up in your Rolls Royce. There's still nothing you can say to me.
Let me say
that's
something.
All right.
Let me say something. I believe it was The Whispers had a song entitled Olivia the Slave. And what they said, 3072, is that a beautiful, intelligent, vibrant young lady left her mama's house en route to grandmama's house. But before she got there, she got lost and turned out. It wasn't about the truth. It wasn't about the truth.
Yeah.
It was that next fix because they thought it was a trick. I mean, a treat, but it turned out to be a trick.
Maybe that's just... I just got something.
No. I love what you're saying.
That's the truth. That's where we need to get, not just our sisters, but the young brothers too. You need to identify with yourself first. And then half of the things you think is fun wouldn't be fun, and it wouldn't be a problem for the community anymore.
Now,
it wouldn't be.
And you, I also highlighted 3072 in my monologue, the fact that a home is where you should get this rooting and grounding of these values to know that I wouldn't drink bleach because I know it'll destroy me. Not to mention burn my nose or turn me off, right? But if you can convince me to hang up my brain and forget about rationally thinking about a step or action I take before I take it, you got me. That's the trick.
Yeah.
See, you know, any good hustler knows that I got to catch you blindsided when you ain't even thinking about it.
Well,
that's the point that I argue. So we all are blindsided sometimes. I've been blindsided.
Yep.
My head been bumped a few times. But again, like I say, the trick is on you, Trick, because I'm woke now and I see what, you the one stuck standing there, looking like an idiot fool while I'm walking off. Call her back at
you,
girl.
What did you tell them? Look at the back of them shoes, that's the last they going to see of you?
So that's okay. I mean, that's okay that we get blindsided, but again, it's waking up. Hey, man, I made a mistake. That wasn't fun. Let me go out and do something else. And like Pastor said, let me tell the next person how the mistake I made. So maybe they don't.
What I know is needed, and this is what 9906 keep bringing home, and even Brother Charles has said this. There is a need to demonstrate what that change looks like, Pastor Waller. And interesting, I was invited to come out at night with some people, right? And they said that they were going to be there for the young people and what have you. But I noticed the time frame, and I noticed the location. We were in the front of a church. I said, dude, we need to pick our tents up, and we need to go back in the middle of the housing project, right in the open square there. And post up right there.
Right.
I guess you know what I got as a response, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much more effective would we have been if we had moved our tent from the front of the church, which was around the corner from the location? Yeah, I'll give credit for that. But what do you think about that, Charles? If we would have taken our tents, man, and stayed there all night till the morning.
Mm-hmm.
What about that, Charles? That'd
be great. And it's going to take that stand, though. It's going to take all of that. I feel like what the young people are suffering from is, how do you put a better image for teenagers to be successful? Because they want to be successful. You're right, and they want to look at all the they want all the fast cars and the money, but they put their image on TV for a reason. No real cop out here is not going to pay a 16-year-old kid millions of dollars to accept the rap music. So once you get into the music, that leads you to the drug game. They all go hand in hand or want stuff at that age because they show these young rappers who's so successful and they shoot and they realize this is their one shot in life. You know, you can't get back tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't promised. All this stuff is going through their head. So they're going to live their life to the fullest. And they truly living their life to the fullest because you haven't reached 30 years old yet. You don't know. You can die tomorrow. And when you got that mindset, you can die tomorrow. You're going to go out and live your life to the fullest. You're going to take extreme chances.
Right.
How do you change that? How do you prove? How can you teach a child that you got a more chance of surviving than you do dying?
Yeah.
So let me ask a question.
Go ahead.
Do they want to, the man was saying that they could die tomorrow, and that's
right.
A really scary thing. So at 25, you got killed, but you was known as the biggest dope dealer. You had like 30 women, all that. That's all that they could speak on at your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going to meet God, that's all that can be read before you, how you was a disobedient child. Nobody can teach you nothing, and you killed people. Is that what they want? That's not what they want.
But
that's not
what
Charles
is saying. We're saying is what's good for reproof, but what Charles is saying, from the lens of their glasses, from their rose-colored glass, that's what it is. That's what life is all about. That's what their life is. But what Charles is saying, what we have to do is be creative and deliberate and intentional about going to these young brothers and not just talking, but demonstrating within our own lives. That's why Pastor Wallace's story and Outcast's story is so powerful. I've been there, but I made a choice, and I ain't been back yet. Right?
Nope. Yep.
You can do the same thing. I smoked marijuana. Look, last time I smoked marijuana was 1975. This is 2017. When I made my promise to God, I kept my promise, and to this day, I'm still keeping my promise. You know, I didn't grow up into a church, you know. I had a heart-to-heart talk with God. But look, let me live. I'll never do it again.
All right.
Until this day, never. Some people didn't make it.
You do know that it is the self-efficacy or the life goal for some young cats to die in the gangster lean or to go out blazing like they saw on the TV. And that's sad.
That's sad.
So let me state this. Okay, you got T.I., you got Lil Wayne, you got all these other rappers. You know, music is just like anything else. It's an industry. It's about money. And what they try to do is what they do. They don't try to do, they do it. What they do is get with a certain group of people, and they sit back, and they put their little stuff together. Somebody else listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this going to sell, man. This going to sell, you know. Hey,
mm-hmm.
you know they out there smoking, drinking, falling, whatever, you know what I'm saying? This going to rock. This going to roll. All they want to do is make a sale. In a sense, they dope dealers too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, their song dope. You know what I'm saying? Any way you look at it, it's all about money, which you know that everybody on the line know this. But it's all about money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all about money, making a dollar. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Alcash, I was just going to add to what you're saying. The reason it's a trick is because you're not even making the money. You're just making a fool out of yourself.
Yes.
I go for that too. What's it do with 50 Cent? I mentioned 50 Cent once. 50 Cent would get on the stage, drop his pants down his butt, showing his drawers, shirt off. As soon as he come off stage, he going to shower, clean up, maybe put on a $2,000 or $3,000 suit and a tie and a hat and walk on up out of here. Oh, I got these suckers money.
But you know what? You can't be mad at them because, again, we are the one lost. They are lost in the fact it is entertainment, fool.
Exactly.
Entertainment. So if you don't listen to it, entertain yourself for an hour or two and then get your black behind back to work.
I like it.
What'd you say,
9906?
Amazing.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I'm trying to get some help.
All right, hold on one second. Go ahead, 9906. I'm listening.
Okay, we're trying to get some answers. I know. Three parts of man. You got your body, you got your soul, you got the spirit. And we know the devil traps people because he's going after the flesh, he's going after the body. And there may be money, there may be sex, there may be whatever. But that's the way he snatches up folks in that way. So the devil's going to do his job, whether you're using 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, or all that. It's always catering to the flesh. My thing is,
exactly.
You people who are know that we are spiritual and we know that we have a soul. Now, I'm not talking about these that have not been taught, because it's our job. We were left here to teach them, all
right?
Right. But the problem is, everybody, I heard one of the guys say that he didn't go to church, he went to the Lord, okay? He went to the Lord, and hopefully some part of the church has given you direction towards the Lord in some manner. My problem is, where is the church in the midst of all this? You mentioned... In your monologue, come by the politics, because we got to look, yes, at those that we're trying to save, but we also got to deflect these things from the outside, or forces from the outside that are trying to enslave them, okay? And part of that is just what the government doing. Part of that is the fact that our churches are hurting people instead of helping people. And what I'm trying to say is, when I look at stuff like Pat Robertson saying on and all these people in the ear of the president telling me he's doing a good job, knowing good and well there's not a Christ-like quality in any of his policies, all right? But yet they consider themselves Jimmy Graham and all. I can go on, all these people who have the title of being evangelical. My question is, being that the church is so damaged, you know, what are alternatives do these guys have? I might as well get mine. Then now the church, they always have the preacher, the cricket this way, and all this and that. We got to have a place to take it, what I'm saying. If God is using us to be the physician, and we got to go to the sick, we do need a hospital. And right now, our hospital, especially again, on the highest levels in our nation, they are misguided. They are trick-or-treating the whole nation right now. And so we got to speak truth to power. Here's a question I have. It's in the same realm, and maybe y'all can give me an answer. I've asked other people. I'm asking this. Are the evangelicals truly modern-day Christianitarians? Is that why they're always voting on the side? Can you hear me?
You said, are they truly
modern-day Christian terrorists. Y'all were talking about the Muslim terrorists. Are they really Christian terrorists? And what I'm saying was, when they vote, who they always vote with? The same policies of the KKK, the same policies of the neo-Nazis, the same policies of the white nationalists, the same policies of the alt-right. Who jumped in there with them 100%?
Okay.
The evangelicals. And so what I'm saying is, that's the church. That's the church. Okay, I'm a black man. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to do better. I want to get out of this game. But I see the church and all these church powerful church people side with the KKK and the Ku Klux.
Okay.
I don't fit in with them.
All right. I hear your the premise of your point that, and I'm assuming by evangelical you're talking about white Christian evangelical. Is that who you're talking about?
I mentioned the name, Pat Robertson.
Okay.
All
right.
The powers
of right.
C in this country right. that call themselves.
All right.
Christian.
Okay.
Hold
on 1 second. So I was on a local show in Nashville, 760, called that show was called Straight Talk. And the Pope came to Nashville about a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember that. And I was asked if I was going to go to see the Pope. And I asked the question, will the Pope show up in University Court or in J.C.
Yep.
Napier? Or will the Pope show up over there in Cheatham Place? And the question was asked, why would they come over there? Because that's where they need.
That's
I don't
right.
really care about Swaggart and all these other cats. The church that I think the young cats we're talking about really need to see the most is the Negro, Black, and Colored Church. The question is, what are we doing? Because I don't expect Pat Roberts to come to the hood. I don't expect Santa Claus to come, Superman, or the Easter Bunny.
Listen. My
yes, sir.
Okay, now, statement. Here
okay.
it is. Okay, you got a lot of blacks. They may be, well, a lot of them Church of Christ, Baptists, things of that
okay.
nature. Now, here's your black churches. Basically, now, your black churches basically vote Democrats. Now, let's go back to Jimmy Swaggart and the rest of them. Now,
okay.
just because a person is in Jimmy Swaggart's church, that doesn't necessarily mean that they vote Republican. That doesn't necessarily mean that every black in a Baptist church or a Christian church vote Democrat, because you have a mixture of both in these churches.
Sure.
A mixture
sure.
of both,
sure.
you know.
Sure.
But a lot of people, you know, just like he just stated, a lot of times people just, you know, they listen to it, okay, well, all them white, yeah, I'm going to take and go with that. But I have enough sense to realize, just because Jimmy Swaggart is white and he have white church members, he have Democrats, and he have Republicans and whatever else in the church, you know.
Right.
They are not all Republicans. Like in black churches, they're not all Democrats. It's a mixture.
Okay. Let me do this. I don't want us to get lost in Democrat, Republican.
I agree.
Because if you ask me personally, one robbed a bank and the other one was driving a getaway car. That means both
and
of them need to go to jail. Okay? So I don't really want to get into that. But what I want to get into, this trick-or-treat thing. Now, if it's going to be anybody, Pastor Waller, that's going to come to save our babies, I'm looking for Dockery, Waller, any other person that look like the folk that are lost. Is anything
Walker?
Wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with
no.
that.
Where's our hospital?
No, no, nothing wrong with that.
I'm not talking about
hold on 1 second. Pastor Waller got the floor.
Yes, I like to say, according to what I've been hearing, it's been great, and I thank God for all this information that's going out. The brother was saying just a moment ago about what other churches doing, as I put emphasis on that. That's where the good news is. They have a book
right.
in there called the Bible with some powerful instructions in there. And I would be the first to say I knew nothing about it. But after I became awakened. This is some of the things that need to be presented as it's written. It says here, it says, awake unto righteousness and sin not. But it goes on further to say, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shoes. In other words, some don't know. Them people out there don't know nothing about God.
That's
you
right.
understand?
That's
why
right.
they're doing the same. And they are asleep.
That's right.
That's
right.
Why it says awake and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, where I'm heading at with this is, the Word of God also says, and it made it really plain. That's why I don't sugarcoat about the people that's in the church, that I know a lot of shucking and jiving is going on in the church, and I have to use my own self as an example of I corrupted my community, and I'm not pleased about that because the
okay.
enemy tricked in a form of me not even knowing I was tricked and done all this harm, was killed, sent to prison, people still out there caught up, never got free, and then to watch generation continue to do this same thing without waking them up, it would be ashamed of me to have this type of knowledge and information now and not reach out to them. Listen to this right here. Watch this here. I'm gonna go, Pastor. And I thank,
can I thank
God for.
Hold on 1 second, 3072. Let him finish his thought. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, let me see here. It says, "Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." It says, "Behold," means to pay attention. "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are ripe already for harvest." In other words, when you come out of the church, lift up your eyes and just look out on the field and look at all the hurt people out there. They're already ready. They're crying out. Somebody just have to reach out to them. They're out there ready, crying out, ready for change, but nobody is willing to say, "Well, I'm going to go up here where they are." He tells us when we come out of this come out of the Bible, the book that they have in all these churches, and I'm not telling nobody to join in with me on 40th. I'm saying that churches all over the city of Nashville, when you leave out of the church, lift up your eyes and just look out on the field. He says, "Well, they are already white for harvest, ready for things." People, could you imagine people like waving their hands, "Somebody help me," but nobody's taking time out. They're ready to go home and eat their whatever lunch and dinner or whatever they're getting ready to do, which is their business. But who's concerned about the people when he says, "Esteem others more highly than yourself"? Where is that at? Where is it located? Who's doing it? It sounds like to me who should be doing it is the church, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves for not doing it.
All right.
That's what
I'm saying. Okay. 3072, what are you going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead, 3072.
Well, Pastor and somebody else was asking about what about the church? What about the church? What's the church is doing? In my opinion, the churches are fighting each other. Who's the biggest? Who has the most members? Who's doing this in the community for attention?
Yeah.
Who? Where's the churches? The churches are running people away. Me personally, my daddy was a preacher. I believe strongly in God. However, I'm sorry, but it'd be a hard thing for you to get me to join your church because I've been burned there before.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's what's wrong. The church needs to build the trust of the people before they'll come. Otherwise, you're just spending your tires in the mud.
Exactly.
I mean, they've heard it all before. I'm just being honest with you.
Okay.
At the end of the day, listen to me. You know, when I was rearing my children, it wasn't the church's responsibility to rear my children. It wasn't the school responsibility.
True.
It was my responsibility, and I accepted my responsibility. And it was up to a welfare check or something in that nature to rear my children.
Mm-hmm.
Churches, you know, I never, this is one thing that I never did. I've never set up and blame the church for my mishaps. When something is going on around me, even out in the community, I don't point fingers at the churches. First of all, the last conversation that we had talking about the ghetto, it starts at home. This is where it starts. It's not the church's job to rear someone's children. It's the parents' job to rear them and bring them to church and get them to know God. But for bringing them up, rearing them, no.
That's true.
I don't blame the churches. Everybody, a lot of people want to blame the churches. Well, the community is messed up. It's the church fault. No. What did you do at home?
You make a great point, Outcast. You make a great point. However, with this caveat, now, I made a baby, right?
That's right.
And if I don't know nothing about rearing a baby or what is the expectation for rearing a baby, where do I go to get that information? Right? And
They have a lot of places that you can go.
All right,
they got prenatal classes and everything else.
Wait a minute. Follow me for a second. The institution of family started in the Bible with God. Should not the church play a leading role in teaching the parents how to do like Proverbs says, raise up a child in the way he should go, such that when he get old, he won't depart from it? Whose job? Is that not the preacher's job?
Well, going back to what I'm what I stated, when I reared mine, I did not depend on no minister, pastor,
what?
Catholic father, nothing. I did it. I made mistakes along the way, you know, but to see at the end of the day, you know, like I stated, I was born in a Jehovah's Witness home.
Okay.
Stayed in the Kingdom Hall. In fact, my grandmother had the keys to it. I was already introduced to God, you know.
Okay.
And my children, they went to church.
Right.
I never stopped them. But could no minister walk up to me and tell me how to rear my child?
Okay.
You know, the child in the house with me.
I'm not suggesting that they should. What I'm saying is that a cover for families is the congregation.
It's the foundation
of God. It's the congregation of families. Hold on one second, 32. Don't lose your thought. 3072. Don't lose your thought. We got 13 minutes to go here. What I'm suggesting is that there is a proper cover for families to be strengthened and nourished, just like there's a cover for children to be strengthened and nourished, right? That's what I'm saying. Man's cover is God.
Yeah, that's
his
right.
His wife's
exactly.
cover is him, and his children's cover is the wife and him together. There's an order for things is what I'm saying. And
yes,
if the church is out of order, you're going to throw everything else out of order.
Right, but see, my point is this. Everything that go on in society, they want to blame the church. A lot of them don't go to church. A lot of them don't even pick up a Bible and read. But everything, every time something is going on wrong in the neighborhood, they want to blame. What is the church is doing? No. What have you been doing?
You know what? I'm going to have you as our main guest on that topic. I'm going to bring a show on that one, Outcast. I want you to take a leading role. All right, 3270, go ahead. What you got to say right quickly?
Well, I commend Outcast for doing such a great job with rearing his children. But he mentioned, and that was important, he mentioned that he was raised up in a Jehovah's Witness home. At least he was raised in a home where somebody did introduce him to God. What about those children in James Casey's homes who parents don't teach them anything? The mother is out prostituting because she don't have a GED. She can't get a job. So the only thing she know to do is to go and sell her body to try to feed them because she spent all the food stamps up on getting high. So where is there for her to go? Mm-hmm. Where is there? Is there not a safe place? God said that there should be. He said to bring the people unto him. So, again, and I ain't going to nobody's church. He right. I ain't going in there. I'm not. I'm going to look and I'm going to observe. I'm going to be very careful. But the woman go to the church just to be turned away from there. People looking at her funny. Oh, she's a whore. Her children are this. Her that kind of stuff. No, nobody want to keep doing that. I wouldn't.
Just
then that you didn't play a role in that. I'm quite sure if she went to Reverend Waller Church or Reverend Docker Church, wherever they may be, they wouldn't turn her away.
Well, it's not
they
the
would
pastors.
Give a guidance.
Then you got to worry about the members in there. Then you got to worry about the members.
Hold on one second. I don't want us to lose.
He is without sin cast first stone.
I don't want us to lose the. We're going to do a show on that.
Okay.
And I don't want us to lose the thread of conversation tonight. Trick or treat. And in essence,
and
let me bring
excuse
this
me
back.
For being so passionate. Excuse me.
No,
you're just getting excited.
I appreciate you and Outcast.
We enjoy you.
And Outcast is going to help me understand this like I'm 3 years old. I'm going to do a show on that one, Outcast. But I mean, that's a relevant conversation. That is a very relevant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But relative to the trick or treat, what we want to walk away from this discussion with tonight is the fact that there is a basis of wholeness and instruction that will enable all of us to think before we act and not allow ourselves to get trapped into somebody's trick to deceive us and exploit us. That's the point.
That's it.
That's the point tonight. And there are a lot of things that are related to that and things of that nature, but the bottom line tonight is good people who innocently try to fulfill themselves or be happy wind up getting trapped into someone's trick. And those people study them and know just how to catch them when they're most vulnerable and weak so that they can trap them in the trick. And that's what we want to walk away from tonight. And now, heaven knows that I don't have a problem with going back out there again, Pastor Waller, with my bullhorn and my tent. That's how I go.
Yes, I know you
do. I go with a bullhorn and a tent. If you ain't ever seen it, I ain't got no problem with it. The bottom line is, when you get through, you got to back that thing up. And it has to be sustainable. It can't just be a one-time fix, one-time pony, a two-trick pony. It got to be sustainable, you know? And you got to be deliberate and focused, because when you catch our people, when you catch those fish, you got to be ready to skin them. Otherwise, they'll spoil if you leave them out too long. Ain't nobody going to benefit from them. Might as well left them in the water. Leave them alone.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to go off on a tangent, but Outkast, I got
go ahead,
you, Outkast. You're going to take care of that for me. That's a good topic. That's a very good topic.
All I can say is bring it. It'll be okay, but you know, I'm sorry, I got a little emotional, but when I hear people always complain, the first thing they want to say, "What is the church doing? What are you contributing to any church?" You know,
okay.
You want to blame the church. I never blame the church for nothing.
Okay.
If I'm not contributing,
you're gonna take the lead
on that. I shouldn't have nothing to say.
You're gonna take a lead conversation. All right. Let's do this. Let's go back. 9906, right quickly. We lost you a little bit in the conversation. We got about 7 minutes, man. Pastor Waller, what are you doing with the clock, man? I'm gonna have to take that out of your hands.
Yeah, man. I think it's only fair. You should. That's right. My goodness, man.
9906. A final thought before we get out of here.
We need a hospital, and we got to be aware of, again, everything that the devil's throwing at us. We got to be committed after we have brought word to them. The church, going to church definitely is not the answer, but it can point you towards the answer. Okay, we know our answer, as one of the guys say, he went to God himself. And we get people to go into God themselves and looking for the truth. They will be fulfilled. But the church is one part of that. Okay, in our community, yes. We can't point finger at the church, and that's easy to do. That's a cop-out. That's an excuse for a lot of people. All right? The church, as ministers, and from my understanding, listen to everybody on the phone, I believe them. We within our community, we got to look at ourselves before we step out. So, you know, point finger at self, get self straight. Before we go anywhere else, before we start talking about what the government ain't doing, we need to make sure our house in order. When we talk about what the government is not doing, we got to make sure our house in order. And I'm liking what I think of Al Cass, who said that. He said that it's my responsibility as a dad. I believe that every man is the pastor of their house, not the pastor of the church.
Amen.
He's the pastor of the church, but every man is supposed to be pastor of his house. I believe every man is supposed to be pastor. So I agree with him. He's responsible for his children's education. He's responsible for their, Scripture said, teaching them in the way they should go. Okay, that's his responsibility. But the church is supposed to be there as a support, as a help. And again, we need to be a healing place. And right now, a lot of our churches are not healing places. And praise God for all y'all. And pray to God bless you. Get one.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks so much. 10-8. But Charles, anything you want to say before we leave, man? Appreciate you. But Charles? Can you hear us, Charles? Okay. I'm not sure what's going on there. All right. 32-7. Right quickly.
Yeah.
Final thought before we leave. 30 seconds.
Final thought, I respect everybody's opinion, enjoyed the show tonight. Again, back to building trust. And you're right, for those that know that they are their child or their family's responsibility, but for those that don't know, we need to go and tell them that, hey, this is your problem here, and we're going to help you get it right.
Amen.
All right.
Bless God.
All right, let's see who we got there. Who we got there? 1098, I got you, man. I got something for you. I got something for you.
Okay.
No, we appreciate it. Pastor Waller, wrap us up here. Give us a final thought before we get ready to get out of here.
Oh, man, thank God for everybody who was sharing, man. But you know what I like so much about the Word of God says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
That's it.
And, man, I'm the truth. In my household, as I said earlier, misled so many people, man, you know, without instructions, you know. And so it's good that I went up into that church. Had I not went up in the church, I couldn't tell nobody about nothing good about how good God is. However, to what we started about the con and enemy. See, the enemy can use people when he knows that there's confusion. You got to realize it. God doing that. So you always got to be mindful that, you see, the enemy has to use devices. And if he can take a thing like this and bring forth a taste of confusion, you understand? It would cause what the Word of God said to be unaffected. The Bible says where there's two or three gathered together in his name,
he'll be in the midst.
Three, there he will be in the midst. See, he's not going to be in the midst of confusion because he don't specialize in it. However, when you're in the fast lane, as I want to say, I'm out of control when I'm in the fast lane. I was living a fast-paced life. To keep it real, I was lost. I needed some help, and I went up into the church, and I'm grateful I did. Now, as I wind down, I want to encourage everybody to know that the scripture said again, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. But the Bible goes on further and said that we henceforth, meaning from now on, be no more tossed. Children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and this is what they do. They lie in wait with the conning and craftiness ways of lying to us and make us believe that he's allowing us to tell truth. See, I don't like opinions. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't like opinions. I'm going to say this, I'm going to have to go. Opinions mean I might be right and I might be wrong. I think that's why I use the Word of God so much, because I've been wrong so much. I've lied to myself for so many years. I'm tired of lying to myself. I need truth. Because opinions ain't going to make me free. But the truth will make me free. Not opinion, but the truth will make me free. So I just really need more of the truth. All right.
Hate to cut you off there, Brother Pastor. www.bfcinstitute.com. Please go there and learn about what we're doing on a larger scale. This is just a small piece of that pie. Thursday night, we'll be back for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Green. We're grateful for all of our callers joining us tonight, and we hope you can come back and join us again this Thursday night. Time has become our enemy this evening, and we're going to have to get out of here, but I'm going to leave with what James Brown said about the trick of heroin.
So now, my man, you know, do your best to keep up your habits until you're arrested. Now the police are taking you. I'm under my wing. Do you like to identify me? I who am king. Now, you must lie in that county jail. Well, I can't get to you by a big lawmaker. So sworn with this conference. We're gonna call. 6 days of madness, and you might throw me off. Cut me a name, define me in speech, but you pick me up right now if I were in your reach. All through your time, you become resolved to your faith. Hear not.